Hello, it is Friday, May 21st, 2021, and you're listening to the Pat McAfee Show. Pat had to get ready to run over to SmackDown tonight, live on Fox at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We still got a great show for you today, down from the FanDuel Beach House in Tampa Bay. D-Butt's in studio with us. Former Patriots legend Lonnie Paxton joins the show. AJ Hawk, all the boys from Indy. It's a fun one. If you like the show, let somebody know, you know. Let's do a little guerrilla marketing. If you don't like the show, just act like it never happened. We'll move along, and that's that. All right, let's get into it.
Big show today. Hey, feel good Friday. Yeah. Down here at the FanDuel Beach House in beautiful Champa Bay, Florida. Now, we did find out the official shelf life of the FanDuel Beach House down here in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. It was announced this morning officially. Although there were rumors and rumblings around the internet, July 16th, the WWE, more specifically, Friday Night SmackDown, will be live in Houston, Texas for the first event with a full audience, I do believe.
Wow,
there.
Come on.
I don't know what the full, whatever it is. I assume Texas it is.
There will be people.
I saw full.
You saw full?
Yeah, I saw full.
So we did officially, we beat COVID.
Yeah! Yeah!
We did it!
Woo! But in doing so, we will have to say bye to this place. And the future of me in SmackDown is one that we will have to figure out here. This is going to be very interesting. Did not know when this day would be coming in July 16th. Did know that it was coming. We'll kind of see how that whole thing goes. I've been enjoying the hell out of it. Been very lucky to be down here. Been very lucky to be a part of SmackDown every Friday night on Fox at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And to be honest with you, one of my favorite parts of this whole thing is when you come down to Florida, we get a chance to see this dude.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Thirst Trap King, Darius Buck.
Yeah,
D-Bo! It's not that hot outside either.
Yeah, Darius showed up in full sweats. Okay, this is 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row now. It is, your Siri told you, it is 83 degrees out there.
82.
7,000% humidity.
Feels like 102.
And this dude, South Florida, these Florida people, I don't understand it. He came in sweats in a full long sleeve. I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know if I'll ever be able to do that. I'm sweating my ass off. I got this thing set at 62 because I need this air conditioning to combat the air that's coming into the house. Yep. This is just normal for you guys. And I feel like the summer, it's only about to get even more ridiculous, huh?
Yeah. So now summertime, this shit going to change in the summertime. But right now, it's cool.
What do you do? Is this like getting yourself ready? Like, you know how guys train and like Mile High and stuff like that to get their body ready for that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And they lay in those things. What are those things? The sleeping things? Those hyperbaric chambers.
Okay.
You know, to get themselves prepared and sometimes work out in there. So have you your entire life down here gotten yourself prepared for summer by acting as if everything else is cold? Because it's allegedly supposed to get up to like 99 down here in a couple of weeks, maybe even 100, and it's going to be 4,000% humidity. I might fucking croak.
Yeah.
I might actually die down here. I don't know how you guys do it. Does everybody just go inside for 3 months? Is that what Florida is?
Nah, we're outside, man. That's what it is. You grow up, it's summer shit all year round, really. So you just get used to it.
Is that why you guys are so fast?
Exactly. Always outside, man. Can play year round.
Okay, so let's talk about speed now. All right. And I don't know where these dudes are from, but Bleacher Report somehow put together. By the way, good move by Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
This is a very good idea. I wish it would have been live. Okay, heard about it later. Wish it would have been live. Would have been dope. But I assume the guys that were in it were like, something could go wrong. So let's not go live, because if somebody gets hurt away from the facility with everything going on. I don't know if that's why they made that decision.
It could be, though.
But that seems like a smart decision.
Yeah, they were cutting promos on the field right before they did it.
So before or after?
Before, I believe.
Are you sure?
Because they were saying, I believe in Ruggs, he was like, I'm going to be.
Yeah, but this is like classic reality TV where you're like, oh, I'm so nervous right now. Yeah. And then they go into a court and they're like sitting there or whatever. Yeah. What's going through your head? I'm about to poop right now. They might have been over already.
Didn't they have something like this? Was that like a couple years ago? Like 40 years, something gold.
So the
ended up being some bullshit.
So the Pro Bowl, was this Bleacher Report or was this somebody?
I forgot who it was, but
dude. Marquise Goodwin.
Bro, the Pro Bowl.
Marquise, he won it, yeah. He was talking about getting his money.
Do you remember the Pro Bowl? Pro Bowl back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Used to have the quarterback challenge, okay? And I want to let you know, I'm no hero.
No.
I'm no hero, okay? But the quarterback challenge, if it came back today and was able to come back today, would be awesome. I got fucking records, too. You can go back and check. A couple years ago, I seen the quarterback challenge for the first time, and I was like, need this to happen somehow. I am in some conversations with some people. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of these conversations I'm with are with people who potentially, you know, could potentially. And they say, like, what are some ideas you think of things that would be cool? And one of the first things that's always pitched is, like, what I need you to do is go on fucking YouTube. Go back to, like, 1921 or whatever that is. It looks like it's in 510 HD or whatever. Look at the quarterback challenge. It would be awesome. To do so, though, you're going to have to give up a real award to the winner.
Right.
Like, I know quarterbacks are rich, but if you're throwing for, I don't know, $5 million, you have it. Yeah, the people I'm talking to have $5 million. But also, let's give $5 million to charity as well. Like, so, you know, and actually get, because I think if you put up an actual prize, everybody expects these super rich guys just to do things like pro bono because they're super rich. It's like, okay, I respect that. I appreciate that. They go to a lot of golf scrambles. They do a lot of charity shit. But if you're going to get them to compete, like, if you actually have, like, a... like, hey, there's a chance I'm going to make some real fucking money on this thing. Like, I think that would potentially get the guys, that like the dunk contest. If the dunk contest did something like that, I think you would get the guys that everybody wants in there. But back whenever they used to do the 40, the quarterback challenge, everything like that, that was must. I don't know. I might have been small, so maybe it was just like I was younger. But now that I'm even watching it as an old, that shit needs to happen more often because guys compete all the time, and it's great content, don't you think?
Nah, that would be dope, man. That, like you said, the quarterback challenge, the first, I want to see who could throw it the furthest.
Yes.
Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, Stafford, and see who can actually do it. Because they had that, obviously, part of the challenge, the moving targets. That shit would definitely be dope.
Well, the Bleacher Report putting together this 40-yard dash, an incredible move, by the way. I mean, this is very, very, it's not easy to get these guys in it either. I mean, Mecole Hardman is the second fastest guy on his team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And I bet you he's a little bit frustrated about how people say what I just said all the time. Because Mecole is like, is it Mecole or Mecole? Mecole? Anybody know?
I think it's,
Mr. Hardman.
I thought it was Mecole. On the broadcast, at least, they do Mecole.
Mm-hmm. So Mecole is tired, like everybody's saying, like, oh, you're not even the fastest guy on your team. It's like, okay. So he races against Henry Ruggs. Gas.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Saw that last year whenever he was healthy. He was a game changer. Devin White, linebacker. Okay. This makes no sense here. I don't know how he ended up in it. Thank God he was.
Yeah.
And then Justin Jefferson, wide receiver, obviously out of LSU. Everybody remembers Justin Jefferson, not only because last year he was Offensive Rookie of the Year or whatever, and he was talked about as maybe being a top five player or whatever, and the gritty and everything that he kind of launched, but also, the Minnesota Vikings front office laughed in the Philadelphia Eagles' face when they didn't draft him and they got a chance to actually draft him. He's gone on to be a superstar. Wide receiver, young wide receiver. You assume he's going to have the gas here. He's going to have the Jets. He's going to be like Rocket from down there in where? Mississippi or Alabama. Mecole Hardman, 4-2-2, wins the race. Fucking Jets. Dude.
Yeah.
That's flying.
Why is everybody, like, I think it's gotten desensitized almost because there's more 4-2s now. 4-2 is
unbelievable.
Absurd at this point.
That is flying.
It's flying. Yeah. We don't know if it's hand time, laser time. We assume it's on a camera, so somebody at home will probably correct him.
We got to see this footage, man.
I agree. Are we going to? I assume they'll release it. And by the way, when they release it, will this story be dead already? I think so. Probably. Let's go to Henry Ruggs, 426. Devin White, 437. Justin Jefferson came in last. Devin White, the linebacker, came in third at 437. Justin Jefferson, 4.5.
Man.
Okay? Still incredibly fast.
Yeah.
We're moving.
Unbelievably fast. Very successful in the NFL fast. Did they run next to each other? Did they run one at a time? I guess that's why we have to wait and see the entire thing. Darius, have you ever been in any workouts where anything awesome has happened competition-wise, whether it's in the facility or outside of the facility? Have you seen anybody do anything incredible?
Probably box jumps. Like I've seen people, you know, compete. Like, okay, you keep stacking until, you know, somebody stops.
That Who flew?
Me. Nah, so actually, the first year I got to Carolina.
Hey, who did the incredible thing? Well, it's funny because they were asking.
It was it was actually me. I was me, Captain Munderland, Jonathan Stewart, who's freakishly explosive. We just kept stacking them, and it might be on YouTube, actually. I might have to find that.
Yeah, great content. Yeah, you should be finding that. Throwback Thursday's waiting. Hey, Throwback Thursday's waiting for that.
I got you next week.
Because your Throwback Thursday yesterday, and I would like to put a little bow on this. I love this happening.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
We hope nobody gets hurt, especially these guys. And if you're running that fast, you're incredibly explosive. You're incredibly twitchy, by the way, so you could potentially get hurt when you're wide open like this. The fact that they didn't get hurt, I assume it's awesome content. I hope this happens more often. Congrats to Mecole getting that win, though.
Congrats,
Mecole.
Stick to him. Your Throwback Thursday yesterday was awesome, man. That
was a good time.
Darius posted a video of the plane. I have told stories of the plane, okay, after games and after wins and how good of a time it is now. The second regime didn't handle the plane the same way the first regime did. It was a bit different, but times had changed. But still, the point remains, those plane rides after a win are awesome because for a lot of guys, you know, that's potentially their only time where they're not with, you know, their kids. Mm-hmm. They're not with whatever. They're not at work. They're not watching film. Like, that is like an actual, like, it's a club in a sky for some people. And, and I'm not saying nightclub, but also maybe they're just like, maybe it's a country, a spot, like a song, like a getaway. It's like the only time I think like a lot of guys get to relax almost. Am I misreading that, you think?
Nah, being for in sure. A, could be a casino.
Could be a casino. Be,
could be a lot, yeah, could be a lot of things on that plane, man. And like you said, after win, obviously, is great. But shit, even after a loss, honestly, you're being real, if you're older guy, it's just part. You get what, 8 of them a year, probably 9 now with the different season, and you know, that's a part of the game you miss. You know, the road trips, for us, especially during those times, we had some hellified dice games in the hotels. Like, we look forward to those. So dinners, just different things on the road in different cities. So this was just a little peek into what that, you know, what that looks like.
You guys in that dice game. Some legendary tales had been.
You guys.
Excuse me. I was not a part of the ones you're referring to. I was not a part of it. Now there were. Okay, listen. I was, hand up, was a part of some. Yeah. But there were some stories that have lingered out of some of the games you guys have had that were just absolutely legendary. And Ahmad Bradshaw commented on the post yesterday. He, as soon as he came to our team, it was like, oh, this is a guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this is a guy. He had a neck issue, so nobody knew how healthy he was going to be. But you're talking about coming into a locker room and just immediately being a guy. Eric Walden, same exact thing. D-Butt, whenever you came in, same exact thing. It was like we had a group. And I think, you know what? I guess I don't really give the guy enough credit ever because of our personal relationship. But Grigson did get some guys in there, and his scouting department did get guys in there where our locker room became like a tight one. Not easy to do, by the way. That is something that you have to think about when you're building a team. Now, there's always going to be some people that don't like it or whatever. But this video of this plane is so fucking awesome to see, because even like the flight attendants, like you know, like I forgot about the flight attendant, and then there was like Colt Anderson's in there in this video, and like there's guys that I see in it, and then Mike Adams obviously cuts a promo. Let's run this thing.
What are you talking about, Bob?
Hey, it's my call to leave, man. You're a suicide alert. Okay, pause. All right, so T.Y. Hilton immediately
out the gate.
Let's assume T.Y. had a pretty nice night there. We looked back on this thing. This was in Denver, right? And he had a pretty good game.
Yep. What do you have?
I think he had like 5 for 80, something real damn good.
Big time plays, though.
I would assume
Divisional round playoff game on the road,
moving the chains
against Peyton.
Again, for him, against that, they had Chris Harris, Tlaib, Roby, you know, Vaughn. They had some dogs out there. TJ Ward.
Yeah, I did see him comment to this video as well. That was basically like, "Sold it," kind of thing. And by the way, I think releasing this at this time, this far along, the right time to release this thing, like these types of clips getting posted immediately after the game, could cause massive problems for some people.
For sure.
Like, for instance, Tlaib or TJ Ward. Yep. I would assume at this point, though, both of them are like, yeah, fuck this. You know what? At this point, it's kind of bygones be bygones. Then, and let's break this down. Back of the plane, so they do have, for us at least, I don't know if that was where it is everywhere, but they basically have, like, they tell you where to sit. Mm-hmm. Okay, right? So they tell you. And normally it's like positional. Like who sits where, but that doesn't mean anything once the plane is in the sky, though, right? Like people move, they move. For instance, the second bet you're about to see, I'm up in with the offense in the special teams area, right? They were a very relaxed group up there. I mean, for a long, they were a very calm, cool demeanor. They did like Sudokus, crosswords. They did. It was. They were. They did have some wine and things like that. They had a good time. But I do like the fact that you were showing people, like, hey, here is how this operates. Mm-hmm. And you know, towards the front of the defense is where you know the OGs are choosing to sit that were new to the team. And whenever we make it to you know, past DeQuell and then to Mike Adams, that's where this video really takes an upside. Yeah. Don't you think
I agree.
And what are your thoughts on how the plane is set up for teams? You like it?
You know, I've been on three different teams. I feel like every team has kind of like a different dynamic. Like with us, it was just they tell you where to sit, like you said, but you can kind of pick and be like, all right, I want to sit next to this guy or that guy. And then, you know, depending on what you're doing on the plane, you know, you want to sit next to the guys who are doing those same things.
Similar things.
Similar things. You don't want a guy up there, you know, super focused. You know, doing his own quiet thing. You got a little, you know. You know how it's doing. They did a good job. But somebody asked me, King, my friend Andrew King Batch on the socials. He's like, who's sitting in first class? Yeah.
He's like, well,
and I was like, well, you know, the coaches and probably Vinny, OG Vinny, yeah,
40-year-old kicker.
Up there, my 40-year-old kicker's up there. But man, those player rides are fun, man.
That was the first time when Vinatieri got up into first class. He was never offered it before, right? So when it, old regime, everybody was in the back. Everybody was in the back, and there was like even like a curtain, and it was like, hey, we're going to go ahead and handle this back here. You guys are up there. You do your thing. It was the front office.
Oh, my God. It just made me think about who was that lineman?
Yeah, yeah. I fucked two bad bitches at the same damn time. Yeah, I've told that story before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say his name, though. I don't know.
I don't know. He's probably a politician or something. A science teacher,
you can say it.
But that was that, man.
He was killing it, too. Hey, and then somebody came running back. It's like, hey, that owner is on the plane. Put the phone down. And he's like, okay, well.
All right. Good knowing you guys.
You are fucked, dude. Anyways, let's continue with it. Nah, that was awesome. All right, so sometimes, you know, younger players have to sing. Like, yeah, something has to happen. And this plane was incredibly jovial, this one. I don't know why. It seemed like it was a good time. We had to have had a pretty big win there. Guy in the offensive line room, young, but talking to him, had a personality. Everybody knew that, right?
Sure.
So on the spot, middle of the plane, you know, they're like, hey, sing! You know, like, it becomes like a speech type thing, but it's in a plane. So to do so, he goes and grabs the speaker, you know, with the, really welcome to the program.
Yep.
You know, that whole thing. And he grabs this and he starts freestyling. You know what I mean? As he's, you know, I fuck two bad bitches at the same day. And he's this big guy, the offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. He's a big guy. And everybody starts like hyping him up. You know, everybody starts gassing him. Everybody. I'm not talking like me and Darius. I'm talking like everybody's like, oh, even the people that are like watching film are like, And then this person.
And certain plane rides are different too. Yes. So certain rides, you got a different group of people on there. So you may have more, you know, of like the owner's friends or
sponsors,
things, the different family members who aren't typically on the plane. This happened to be one of those. and this guy had no clue. So
I don't think any of us did, by the way.
Yeah, and they came back, man. Because usually, you know, they let us, we rock. We do our thing on the
music
plane.
Music in the thing, even. Mm-hmm. Like it's one of those things, I think, where the front office that is up in the front, whoever traveled, they almost feel like more part of the team, I think, on those. Whenever the music's playing, they get a chance to like see, they get a peek behind like the curtain almost,
right?
How the whole thing is. Now, I assume some people hated it. Like, I assume that there were some people, first regime, there was a couple people that whenever things were getting a little bit too much, they were like, can we turn it down?
Hey, keep it down.
Yeah, but then normally the back of the plane would be like, nah, you keep it down. Like, it always became one of those. That was a really awesome thing, but man, when that person came flying back, walking down the aisle, and then delivers the news, his soul leaves the plane. Oh. Not just his body. He just basically, they take the phone out. The one flight attendant who was really cool, forget her name.
Star?
Star takes the phone, like, slowly, and just, like, It was like out of a fucking movie. Sit down, sir. And everybody sat
down. Have a seat, sir. Return to your seats. You saw the play. Everybody stood up. But that was good.
So he knew instantly he was going to get cut.
He knew his future probably wasn't the greatest. Hey, man, hell of a run. What a moment, though. Yeah. Still talking about it.
Yeah. Hey. That was a while ago.
All right, let's get back to the plane here, shall we? Shout out to Overton over here. He's got a Budweiser dome on.
No!
Oh, there's Taquell having a good time
here. That was SP.
Oh, was it?
Okay.
Fort Town Army.
Okay.
Okay, Fort Town Army. Shout out. Good, Brandon. Thank you. Now, this is where it gets good.
Hey, man. The difference with us is when we do what we do, but we're doing it like we're doing it for TV.
You hear that?
Mike thought he dropped a bar right there too, man.
Hey, listen, we do have to have a little bit of understanding the state of mind that Pops is probably in. He played for the Broncos.
Yep.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Big win.
Comes to, I assume he is, you know, we're not in the sky yet, but I assume there's something going on potentially altitude-wise. I'm not saying with what I do or what anybody else. I'm assuming he is not a sober human at this point.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, this is the party already started after the game on the bus to the plane. I mean, there is
flowing.
There's already something. And also, they have to pack the whole plane. So all of our shit has to get packed in there, too. So it's a little bit
of a process.
Yeah, there's a process. So I don't want people to think like, oh, the party hasn't even started here. It's like, no, Mike. No,
he's had eight beers already.
But no, the party had not started yet at this point. I had somebody hit me like, oh, this, man, I'm like, we didn't even take off yet. Like, this is just a start. But like you said, there's a process.
Let's give him a credit.
Leave the stadium.
There's Tordal in there.
He's feeling good.
He's feeling good. Big win. Not a bad. Hey, by the way, delivered it. And that's what it's all about. You know what I mean?
Great conviction.
I fucking love Pops, by the way.
He's a man.
But let's go ahead. Let's keep it moving.
Hey, what's happening?
I'm
going to
give a shout out. You know. Yeah, we out here. We on the plane.
So, I mean.
Altitude.
I mean, we had a good time there. I think in that particular game, you know, we win. Anytime you're in Denver and you're kicking balls, I mean, it's a fun time.
Yeah.
I think I potentially got hit by a guy and also pinned him in the five, like, penalty thing. It was like I had an okay ending to the game. I'm not sure I started good, but we just won the playoffs, too, so these stats do not matter. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Like, let's go. We're going to the AFC Championship game. Now,
We don't have to talk about that.
None of us recall what happened
at all.
A week after this.
Yeah.
1 week after this video was taken. A lot of things changed quickly, okay?
Talking plane party.
Hey, life hits you fast.
But I mean, you see a camera, you know, in the middle of that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I would have shouted like world star. Yeah. I wish I would have. But go ahead and keep that thing going because a legend is about to pop into this thing. Darius, good shooting.
Hey.
There he is! Andrew Luck! Woo. By the way, that is Andrew.
That's him.
That's Andrew.
Yeah. On the phone.
By the way, this is Andrew Luck after winning a playoff game against Peyton Manning. Just, hey, how's it going?
Hey, guys.
Hey, good to see you.
Hey.
What's up, D-Butt?
Nicest guy of all time, by the way. Not normal. You know, for people just to whip out a camera in Andrew Luck's world, I'd assume. Right? Andrew, I think he potentially just lives in the woods.
Yeah, off the map.
Have you heard anything about him?
I mean, even this video, it's looking a little grainy now. What do you do to him?
Well, we had to pause it. And this is a rip from your rip off of your rip.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like he is in there, though. He's right behind it. But, I mean, that is just such a perfect Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Hey, good win, huh? All right.
Hey, D-Ball.
All right. I'll see you guys. He's awesome. And go ahead and finish this thing out.
Yeah.
Moncrief. It was a big play.
That's my picture.
Turn up. Yeah. I don't know who this guy
D-Ball,
is.
D-Ball, I'd like to welcome
you. Take my picture. All right. You're part of the party too, buddy. Get in here. Hop your ass in here. All one big family.
Awesome. That was a nice trip down memory lane.
Yeah, it was.
I assume this isn't great radio, but I apologize.
that peek into the post game like flights, because we always hear about it, but actually seeing how it was.
And you saw that.
Sweet.
You saw Coach Doofus there sitting
there. Yeah, Coach.
Yeah, did you see Coach? You saw his cup. It was, that thing was ready to get demolished.
Nice little Kangol hat.
AQ. Uh-huh. So, yeah, following in Bruce's steps. I mean, that guy. D-Bot, thanks for posting that, man.
Hey, no problem, man. It's good memories. Good trip down memory lane.
Did you record yourself saying anything else that night?
Yeah, but Tom Brady changed that real quick in a hurry. But I was on one.
Man, we all were. How could you not? That doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you don't win playoff games on the road much.
Against the guy who, the legendary quarterback who left your franchise, too. I mean, or who got released, rather.
There's a photo after that game, I think. It's me and Peyton shaking hands. And I have like a backwards hat on. And I think you actually can see me going, have a good night, sir. By the way, Peyton was a great teammate. Very cool. But for a lot of people in that building, you know, like, that was a massive night for them.
Yeah.
Big.
Huge.
Massive night. The people that made the decision.
It worked.
Yeah. You know,
Andrew, you know, that's a big deal. Also at home, Sunday Night Football. We won that game, too.
That was the year before, right?
Yeah, those are big.
That game, and they posted that. I just saw it couple days ago. That was an electric atmosphere.
And I know everybody says every game is the same. And for me, every punt was hopefully the same. But that week, you know, those weeks. Yeah, there I am fucking. Hey, dude. Hey, have a good night, dude. He's a good
probably
guy.
Like, fuck you.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he said that exactly, but he did get the gist, you know, of the situation there. I was going to go have a blast on that play.
Yeah.
And he knew it, you know. He was a good guy. You never teammates with him, huh?
Nope.
Never get to meet him?
I met him at the first, so you know, as a kid, you get into you actually get to the league, and it's like, damn, I'm playing. Matter of fact, playing that 4th-and-2 game my rookie year, that was one of probably three games in my career where I was like, I feel like this shit is like a movie.
Oh, yeah, you told us that. You're in a video game.
Just being lined up and just hearing, you know, the sheriff do his thing and then being on the sideline and watching Brady do his thing. Like, that was crazy. But after that game.
And Bill Belichick.
Belichick, you know, you got. So it was crazy. So after that game, you know, got to run up and shake Peyton Manning's hand. Got to. So went up, shook his hand, and he was like, hey, man. He said something along the lines of me and Donald Brown, and because Donald Brown was the first round pick that year with you guys, my college teammate. Like, oh shit! Like, Peyton knows who I am.
Oh, he knows a lot about you.
Yeah, so
he probably knew exactly the color of your tape every single night. Yeah.
So that, I was like, okay, that was a dope moment. But you know, played him probably a handful of times, and he was always cool, you know, in passing.
First time I met him, he said his name. Hi, I'm Peyton Manning. It was in the Indianapolis Colts locker room. I met him. I'm Pat. I know, man. Yeah.
I know.
I'm trying not to get cut. Okay. Bill just drafted me to do a position I don't fully understand. All right. So you and I might not be teammates for long. I'm just going to shut the fuck up here. Nice to meet you, sir. Thank you. Let's get to a break here. Robert talked about it.
Yeah.
Robert said, hopefully he'll be at my Ring of Honor induction thing, but sacking him was the thing, you know, because he was like, in practice, people get fired if they even came close to him.
3 feet.
Yeah.
3 yards.
3 yards.
Yeah. His feet. Woo. Woo. He'd be like old boy on the plane.
What a. Let's get to a break. Hey, Pops, I thought you did great, dude.
Yeah.
Good promo. Fair done.
What's that all about?
That shit was terrible. But Pops, my dog, though.
Yeah, he didn't know. He didn't know who was going to see that. He didn't know.
I caught him in a moment. He had something ready, at least. You got to give him that. Yeah, he was on top.
And energetic.
Yeah,
he's ready. I think we were flying on smaller planes all year. That's why I was potentially mocking the situation.
They tried to. Is that the year they tried to go to a different? Yeah. That, oh, that's.
So
shit
I think
backfired.
That is why I was potentially mocking. That's why the Noah's Ark and the Titanic. By the way, Titanic, not a good reference.
Nope. Not, especially before you take off.
Yeah, but you got to remember, we were in Denver.
Saved it with Noah's Ark.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Did that go?
Yeah, that one worked.
That worked.
That's why I saved it. That one worked. Titanic probably came out of the mouth, and I was like, whoa. What's big and stayed alive? Noah's Ark saved the world. Yeah. That's what we need to get back on. All right. I'm sure this is award-winning radio.
Mm-hmm. Right up there.
1-833-4-McAfee. We'll answer some calls on the other side. Tebow, top 5 selling items on NFLshop.com right now.
Wow.
Somebody told you guys that.
Never would have guessed that.
Yeah. Shocker.
Wasn't it? It was crazy.
Wonder why he's getting an opportunity and not, you know.
Northwest Missouri State guy?
Yeah. who deserves a shot.
What, you don't care about that guy?
He's not moving needles.
No, he is not selling out.
He might business. Sell.
No, we don't. What's his name? What's his name?
I don't know.
I thought about changing my name to P-H-U-C-K. I thought that would move a lot of Jersey. Fuck one.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would have been okay, but when I saw Ocho do it, I was like, whoa.
Hold on.
I could probably do this as well here. But then, you know, Tim and Sally McAfee would have to call their son Pat Fuck.
Pat Fuck, yeah.
And that would be...
It wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
The Cubs had that. He had Fukudomi.
Yeah, yeah.
Cubs fans bought that just for that.
Oh, yeah.
That's where... that's all I was thinking was, you know what? I get 4 cents for every jersey sold. Let's go ahead and sell at least 100 of them.
Why not?
I can get $4 out of this thing. Shout out to the NFLPA, by the way. Great negotiation. What were you going to say, Tom?
His actually said, fuck you, do me. Yes. That's how, yeah. how it was spelled, too.
F-U-K-U-D-O-M-E, yeah. right?
Yep.
Yeah. I think I own one of those jerseys. For sure. It was like a Shockers hat, Wichita State Shockers hat back in the day.
Yep.
The Fukudomi.
Any guess on the first non-Tebow? Like the highest selling non-Tebow item?
Justin Fields.
Hell yeah.
Let's get to a break. Is that right?
Yep.
No shit.
Is that right?
You're absolutely right.
Woo!
Wow.
It's a great Friday.
Go Bears.
Buy your shirts now.
A lot of Mad Dog Radio fans have been tweeting their displeasure with our frat-like antics whenever we all yell into the microphone.
Sorry.
I'd like to let you know that that ain't stopping ever!
Bad you.
It probably will, though, at some point. We'll get too tired to do it. And at that point, we'll retire because we'll know that our best days were behind us whenever we were doing frat-like antics yelling into the microphone.
It's Feel Good Friday.
These people don't feel good at all. I checked their Twitter accounts. They fucking stink.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, they are entitled to their opinion.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody is.
Even if it fucking stinks.
Well, that's what I've been saying. There's been a lot of people that have made terrible decisions off of terrible opinions for, what, probably thousands of years at this point.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Dawn of time.
Think about this. The Italians killed Jesus.
Huh.
Good point.
Pontius.
Yeah. I guess Pontius Pilate was not actually Italian.
That's not true. I don't know.
What's that, Diggs?
Just heard somebody. That's not true.
No, yeah, you just heard an Italian somebody. What's that?
That's simply not true.
What isn't true about it?
Well, they were hired, so
mercenaries.
Was not from Italy. He's from Judea.
What's that?
It's Judea.
It ain't Italy.
You Italians, you don't even know where it is. You just saw a word that wasn't Italy, and you were like, all right, what if it's in Italy?
It's not, and if it was, it's not there anymore. So.
People go through many changes as we get older, isn't that right?
Oh, yeah.
For men, one of the less fortunate changes is that testosterone production begins to naturally decrease in the body. Did you know this, AJ?
I am aware.
For most men, it begins around the age of 30, and testosterone production declines by roughly 1% per year.
My Whoa. God.
So if you live to 130, you ain't got shit left.
No, minus 30.
Well, if it starts around 30, this is one of those questions on a test where, you know, begins around 30, and the testosterone production declines by roughly 1% per year. So does it start at zero or does it start at 30? That's the thing. This is where they can get you.
It's one of them damn word problems.
This is one of those problems where you're like, well, wait a minute. Which, can I ask a follow-up? Anyways, I was good at those tests because I always viewed it as me versus the fucking teacher.
That's right.
Okay? I don't know what's going on, but this is me versus you. Fuck you. That's how I view it. That's why friends at Roman have a new supplement designed to support testosterone production. I did not know this. They formulated their own supplements with transparent and scientifically backed ingredients. You hear this, AJ? Roman's testosterone supplement is for anyone who wants to support their own body's natural function. They formulated their own blend with transparent and scientifically backed ingredients. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/USA. Their supplement contains vitamin D3,
what?
Zinc,
what?
Magnesium,
what?
Maca,
what?
And ashwagandha in a unique blend designed by healthcare professionals that you can't get anywhere else. To learn more about these incredible ingredients, visit GetRoman.com/USA. Roman is offering $15 off your first order and will deliver your supplements right to your door with free 2-day shipping. When you go to GetRoman.com/USA, get $15 off your first order plus free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman, GetRoman.com/USA. That's good news. Let's try that stuff.
Okay.
I've been looking for that type of stuff.
That's good news. Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Now we know.
Hey, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Here's a man joining us now who is in the NFL who has made great business decisions, I think. I don't know the ins and outs. I haven't asked him about his goddamn bank account, but I've seen the humans he was just at dinner with the other night. Ooh. And I got a chance to, you know, see. I haven't tried it yet, but I saw his wine show up at my house that he's launching now. Game Time Wine, I believe. Ooh. It just showed up at my house. He was at GoPro for a long time. Super Bowl champion numerous times with the New England Patriots. One of Vinatieri's close friends. One of Tom Brady's close friends. He's a part of that Kentucky Derby crew. He's a long snapper. He's a legend. He's a businessman. Ladies and gentlemen, Lonnie Paxton.
Yay!
What up, dude? Now you're muted. Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ. It's probably our fault. It's probably our fault.
I'm on.
Hey! Was that our fault or his?
That was your fault, but that was a great fucking intro, so thank you.
What's that?
AJ as well.
Oh, AJ's on as well? Yeah. Lonnie, I don't know if you know this, dude. Ladies and gentlemen, AJ Hawk also. Yeah! AJ, I'm sorry.
What's up, AJ?
You're good. What's up, Lonnie? How you doing?
Good, brother. Good. Good. Long time.
Hey, Lonnie. So you guys, you know, run into each other at the Kentucky Derby every once in a while. You guys real sober, talking, shaking hands, having no fun at all over there. Is that what goes on, Lonnie?
Yeah, I mean, you know, typically the Derby is one of the quietest times of my year with all the boys. You know, we go there and just sit down, high five, and tell old stories about, you know, what it used to be like.
Yeah.
No fun's had there.
Yeah.
But in all reality, it is pretty much the greatest 36 hours on the face of the planet.
I could imagine. I get to see some pictures and hear the stories. And as soon as I talked about you and knowing you, AJ was like, oh, I know Lonnie from the Kentucky Derby and everything like that. And I'm very thankful for you joining us today. Congrats on this Game Time wine. Let's go.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, it's been real. It's been crazy. I mean, as you know, with the pandemic and shit, there's been obviously a lot of changes. And I was at GoPro for a long time, got super fortunate that role right out of the NFL, and traveled the world, did some really amazing shit with them. But now I'm advising, and I've got my hands in 100 different things, kind of like you mentioned. And one of them is this wine by a brand called Knocking Point. And we launched Game Time Wine. We're the official wine of sports.
Okay.
Ashton Kutcher's on a board of directors, started by a celebrity who's actually playing a wrestler on a TV show with James Harrison. His name's Stephen Amell.
Oh, yeah.
It's right down your alley, buddy.
Yeah, Stephen Amell, second greatest celebrity wrestler of all time, I think a lot of people would say, in the history of the business. Good for him. He was awesome, and I can't wait to see that show. We saw the picture, and can we bring this picture up? It's on his Instagram. Zito's going to try and find it right now. In this picture, was that a board meeting? What? And is that just, is that?
That.
You're in the Illuminati now? You're in the Illuminati.
Man, so that was at Ashton's house. He's got this ridiculous house that he couldn't even tell us how big it was because he didn't know. That's how big it was. But it's up at the top of the hills in Beverly Hills. Denzel Washington's his neighbor. But he invited us all there, and the idea was to get legends involved to really lean into the next varietal of this Game Time wine. So what you're going to taste soon, hopefully, is where it's at today. But moving forward, we wanted to get some of these guys like, you know, Dwayne Wade and Brandon Marshall, Ali Raisman, and you know, a handful of these celebrities and sports icons. Michael Irvin was there, you know, and they all leaned in. We voted. I tried to hit up your publicist. They said you weren't available.
Nah, that ain't true. And by the way, I don't deserve to be at this table yet. Maybe someday I will. Go ahead, AJ Hawk.
Lonnie, I'm curious, at that dinner, that meeting, what is your role? And, like, do you feel comfortable being, like, pretty vocal and adding things to that?
Well, my role in the company is chief strategy officer. So I was brought in as, like, an advisor and elevated to kind of run the strategy, man. So, you know, I help gather up some of the athletes who are involved, help talk about, you know, what we're doing moving forward with content and marketing and storytelling. And, you know, it was an honor for me to just sit at the table and listen to a lot of these legends talk. And, you know, we run around the table, and Ashton made everyone kind of say, you know, announce who you are and tell us what makes you a champion, which was kind of a really cool moment when you went around the table there and got to hear it from everybody. And, you know, I'm a long snapper, bro. So, you know, I've prided myself of being America's guest and doing the job that no one wants to do and just shut the fuck up and be silent and reap the rewards off the field.
Jeez, Lonnie. Real quick, I know probably in this world that you've been in now because your business excellence and also your snapping excellence as well. Long time, massive games, didn't fuck up. Doesn't get talked about ever, but you're a great long snapper as well. Nobody cares, but you were a great long snapper as well. I want you to know that.
I appreciate that. And coming from you, that means a lot because you're the, you know, you guys are my mojo. You know, you make us look good on sometimes we throw it inside or throw it low, whatever. And you let the ballers like AJ and the offensive players, you know, make all the plays and win the games. But, you know, when it comes down to those, 40 mile an hour winds in Buffalo and those 50 yard kicks and those plus 50 punts that are you're supposed to do good, you know, we can't fuck it up. And that's the beauty of our position. It's also the worst part of it.
And if you do, by the way, you're gone. Okay. See you later. This is
yeah,
fun.
You're gone. I mean, the best long snapper and the worst long snapper in the league are probably just one play away from each other.
Hey, Muehlbach. Hey, Mule's still going, dude.
It's unbelievable. He throws freaking smoke too.
Yeah, he's a real freak. All right, let's get back to this building, though. Let's get back to this dinner. I would like to get back to this dinner. Darius, you know Darius Butler? He came to New England after you, I believe, but he were in Denver whenever he got up there.
What's up, bro?
What's up, Lonnie?
Yeah, I don't know if we've met. We've, I'm sure our stories have collided in some form or fashion.
For sure.
Lonnie, I like to hear that bullshit, by the way. I just heard you work there. Hey, Darius, you know what I mean? It was great. That's good business, man, right there.
Perfect.
Yeah, strategy. I mean, there
I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, me too, AJ. It seems like we should probably try to steal everything Lonnie's saying, because look at the fucking dinner he's at. Did you guys eat food? Was there food at this thing?
There was food served by Wolfgang Puck's crew.
My God.
Wolfgang!
How do you get to the Illuminati?
So, yeah. This is a movie.
Yeah.
You were at a movie.
It was unbelievable. And, you know, I mean, you couldn't say it more. And obviously, you know, it was the first time in a long time getting together in like a public setting or a group setting like this. And it was crazy walking into his house. And I mean, I've been to Brady's house. I've been to some other guys' houses. And this by far was just one of those things. It was unbelievable. Really.
Just a quick, what's your pricing? What's your pricing for game time? It's good. Cause I assume with all these people, these are pretty like important wine people. I'd assume these people have like Brandon Marshall's in here. I assume he's potentially a wine drinker. I think I've seen some videos of him drinking wine. Is the game time wine for the wine people or is game time wine? Like
it's
good.
It's good ass wine because it comes from Walla Walla right at the Oregon border. So we make really good wine, but it's at a price point like 18 to 25 bucks that is reasonable. And the reason we're kind of going down the sports lane is because when you go to a sporting event or you sit around on the weekends and watch sports, you know, plugging 10 IPA beers like you used to, it just ain't really good for the figure, as you can tell with a lot of our former teammates. So you know, you either have this snobby wine scenario where it's $100 a bottle, or you got this gasoline they serve you at games, right? So we're kind of in this sports lane. We're collaborating with artists. You know, a lot of these guys who left that room are investors now because of A, what they believed in how it tasted, and Ashton's on board. Everything he touches turns to gold. So, sit on an executive table with me, Ashton, Stephen Amell, and the co-founder, Andrew Harding. So can you believe that?
No, I can't. It's awesome, though. After I got a chance to chat with you a couple times. Actually, I can believe it, by the way, after getting a chance to chat with you. You are an incredible communicator. And also, by the way, I think you're incredibly intelligent, obviously. I mean, this is something that's happening. And this is not a normal trait, by the way, for somebody to be in the NFL, but also be as business savvy as you are. I hope you look in the mirror every once in a while and say, hey, pretty fucking good. You know what I mean? I hope you do that.
I appreciate it, man. I mean, I couldn't sit up here and do what you do. I mean, you guys talk. I mean, you're so tuned in on pop culture and sports culture and all the things you talk about, and to be able to do that all day and, you know, have fun doing it. I knew I wasn't built for that. I wasn't built for coaching. And so I was always the guy kind of I had the swag in the locker room. Guys would send me boxes. I'm handing out, you know, shoes, shirts.
The plug.
You know, going to Red Bull events.
It's the plug.
You know, things like that. Right. I got the guy.
Yeah. Okay, last question before I know we're going to get to some football, and I know AJ wants to ask you, and I assume you can't tell us whose speech was the worst, but did anybody bomb in here, and did anybody really do well when they were asked by Ashton Kutcher what makes them a champion?
No, well, it was funny. It was funny. The winemaker who's wearing the Kindness Pass It On shirt in the middle, that's another partner of mine. It's a sustainable marketplace, and it was started by a guy who left GoPro, number four GoPro. And so I do some stuff for them. I drive this big van around that says Kindness Pass It On. But the guy in the middle, he was starstruck. He was the winemaker. He's kind of the genius, but he was just starstruck. So he couldn't get his words out.
Oh,
and he was just like, you know.
No.
And you know,
palms sweaty.
Moment
yeah.
Of, you know, but
arms
everyone
are
cheered. We're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, man. He's got so much to say, too. I bet he knew what he wanted to say. He looks back on it and says, you know what? I make great wine. All right, that's good.
Yeah.
But I had
exactly.
That chance right there in front of Michael Irvin, Ashton Kutcher, Brandon Marshall, Ali, the whole crew
Tony
there.
Hawk.
Dwayne Wade, Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk.
Do a kickflip, dude. Yeah. What a moment. Hey, congrats on Game Time Wine, though. That's awesome. Let's talk football.
Thank you, bro.
Go ahead, AJ. Let's talk some football, though.
Hey, Lonnie, speaking of your time when you were in New England, I'm just with what you're doing and all your business savvy, and you're the guy, like you're the connector. Did you feel comfortable doing things like outside of the locker room, like if you were, whether self-promotion or whatever? I just feel like if I played, I feel like it's like my high school coaches. I feel like anything I did outside of the locker room, they're just going to kill me and make fun of me and make me run for it. Like, do you feel, when you're in New England, can you do stuff outside?
Back in the day, you couldn't, bud. I mean, I didn't even get on Instagram until I was at GoPro. I mean, I didn't have social media until then. And thank God social media wasn't around in the early days, because we were running the streets of Boston anyways. But, what I would say to that is that, you know, I picked and choose what I could do. I was actually, the way I got a lot of my opportunities was I was the guy who did the freebies for the guys upstairs. They needed you to go to this event to shake hands for you know, a free limo ride, or you got to go to this children's hospital. You know, some guys would charge money for that stuff. I was one of the guys who did a lot of stuff for free, which helped build those connections in the city, which then progressed after football and kind of led into some of these roles. And so it wasn't really outward promotion, but it was a lot of these networking things that kind of occurred, you know, from those marketing guys who come down and ask you to do shit.
Hey, you got a chance to experience, right? I mean, the dynasty, you were in there, right? You win three with them, I think. Three?
Three out of 4 years, but that one that hurts is the Giants one, so.
Yeah. Oh, in Indy, by the way, that's tough.
Yeah.
God, I almost went undefeated. Man, that's a shame. I'm really sorry you didn't, you know. I am bummed about it.
Which will be a follow-up to this, so, you know, it has some meaning.
Oh, deep-rooted there. We have not forgotten, you said. That's why Tom Brady, on the NFL Draft-A-Thon, whenever he was asked if he would give up two rings for the perfect season, he said he would. And everybody thought he was potentially joking. Is this something that whenever you guys didn't go perfect against the Giants, it was, like, devastating for everybody and still something you talk about to this day?
Still hurts. I was with Tom. We actually did the Derby trip a couple weeks ago. It was a little different. We didn't have, you know, the normal the OGs like Teddy and Welker and Vrabes and Izzo and Castle, but we went and it was different. But yeah, a couple of the guys he brought that up, and you could see the smoke coming out of his ears. So
oh, so they're going to go undefeated next year.
I told you.
I mean,
I told you.
I don't know. I didn't say it here, but they are they're on fire.
Oh, okay. So this is Tom's. Giselle asks, "What more do you need to prove?" And he goes, "You fucking forgot." I mean, we are almost. Those 72 Dolphins guys are still popping bottles at this moment. Let's go take that. Okay, let's get back into the football a little bit. You know, the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick stuff. Okay, this is obviously, and I would assume that you have learned a lot from both of them that you have taken into your life now in the business world and everything like that. But I think this is just from outside looking in, and I think AJ agrees with me here. They needed each other, but also very understandable that at some point that could potentially combust, right? Like, I think that is just something that the whole world that's potentially in that world understands. But as these stories start to trickle out about them hating each other, you know, it's kind of interesting for the fans, though, to be like, oh, these two, like, they hated each other. They didn't get along. When you were there, did you sense any of that? Do you think that happened later? Do you think they hate each other? Or do you think this is all getting blown out of proportion because it is Tom Brady, Bill Belichick?
I think in the early days it was just a grind, you know. I mean, he beat everyone down. I mean, from, you know, Teddy's, Rodney's, Tom's, special teams guys, even Junior Seau, he was beaten down when he got there. And it was just playing on the Patriots a lot of times was the way, you know. You worked hard, you brought your lunch, You know, practices were tough. You'd have the low lights on Monday, even if you won by 40, and then, you know, on to the next one. But, you know, obviously after many years of that, I'm assuming you grow up, you hear media kind of sending, you know, Bill's ego and Bill's, legacy this way and Tom's this way. And they're dividing, they're causing this split. But as a family, I mean, they love each other. He would never have said that he probably could have done that somewhere else if it wasn't for the group of guys that came in, the way the ownership treated us, the assistant coaches, and the team that they put together after, you know, we were 5-11 2000.
Okay. So they hate each other, you think? No, they don't. They like each other? Deep respect.
Deep respect. I don't know if you'd see him at on his boat in Nantucket.
Like week four, for instance. Week four is going
I can't wait to that game because I think that'll be pure hate.
Like, I think they're both, though. Like, I think they are both at that one. That is going to be remembered.
That's a big one. Yeah. And they'll probably leave that one saying, I'll see you in L.A.
Yeah, that would be awesome. What do you have? This is a big Patriots fan, Boston Connor. What do you have?
Yeah, Lonnie, thank you for, you know, snapping the ball to Adam during those two game-winning kicks.
Well,
those
Ken Walter.
Those are perfect. Of course, Ken Walter as well.
Josh Miller, Ken Walter.
Of course, Josh.
Good guy, hilarious, dude.
But this upcoming season, I do believe long snappers will be getting voted to the Pro Bowl. What do you think kind of constitutes a Pro Bowl long snapper? And then also, do you think you'll throw your hat in the ring to kind of select who will go?
Hey, Alani, and let me follow up on that because this is a big deal. There's nobody that's going to be able to tell who the best fucking long snapper is in the league unless they watch all the clips and know what they're talking about. I like that it's happening because it's like more acknowledgement for the long snappers, but there's no way anybody's going to know. No way.
No, you can't know that. And, you know, the only guys who know really are a couple special teams coaches, your guards who play next to you, your fullback, and obviously the punters and holders. I mean, those are the only really guys that should vote and should know. Maybe the guys who tried it, you know, like the early days in AJ's world when he was on special teams trying to rush over me, might have blocked him, might have not. But those guys who try and, like, game the snapper, they might know. But it is worth acknowledgement. And like I said earlier, I mean, a lot of times the difference between the best and the worst is one snap. So there's other factors. It's not just perfect snaps. It's your blocking. It's your coverage. You know, it's
everything.
It's the rhythm that you have. Yeah, and then obviously having a good punter. If you have a shitty punter, you're going to be the best long snapper in the world, and you just don't get recognized because, you know.
The whole team's getting booed, by the way, if the punter's bad. Everybody's getting booed. You can have a perfect snap. I shake that thing. Boos are raining down on your ass while you're jogging off. You're
Yeah. Or a holding penalty, and we got to do it all over again. We're like, shit.
Bad guy. You got four fours running by you, by the way. You're supposed to snap it, set, and not hold on to a guy while somebody's while it's all happening.
I was middle safety. You know, I'm down there. Unless the guy ran into me, I wasn't making a tackle.
Go ahead, Ty.
Lonnie, did you have like plans in place in terms of what you wanted to do after football? Because you said, like, you obviously have a very infectious personality and everything, but you said you didn't have Instagram or anything like that. And I assume being a long snapper, you really need to, like, obviously dedicate to the craft, because if you fuck up, like Pat mentioned, you're gone. Like, at what point, like, were you just trying to, you were going to do it as long as you wanted to do it and go out on your own terms? Or, like, at what point did you, like, start thinking about, like, okay, I need to start figuring out what I'm going to do post-football?
Yeah, I mean, I came from SoCal, and a lot of the way I was just brought up, and my friends were in action sports and branding and marketing and these events and Red Bulls and Oakleys. And I mean, I had a house when I was, from 2004 to 2011. I had 3 acres. I had a big BMX track in the back. I had a giant grotto pool, and we would host events there and have like 1,000 people. Slightly Stupid was playing. And so you got to learn all the brand managers and the action sports athletes. Kerry Hart shows up, and Brian Deegan, and, you know, these motocross guys I grew up around. So I kind of was integrating unknowingly into this culture and this life. And then as my career came, you know, to an end in Denver, the Red Bull guy went to GoPro, who said, hey, there's just going to be this new thing, and we want to get into pro sports. You know, I think you could help us. And so I started thinking about it, and actually, he brought a bunch of cameras out an opening day, and we were giving them to DJ Williams and Champ Bailey and all these guys in the the parking lot. So I'm seeding product and I'm getting their reactions and they're like, oh, let me hook you up and do this for you. So it became this thing that I unknowingly was doing. And then when things ended, I was like, oh, maybe I should give that a try because of what I said earlier, but broadcast booth or coaching just didn't feel like it was for me. So, yeah, so that's kind of how it went.
Coaching is a nightmare. Go ahead, AJ.
Lonnie, going back to the whole Brady Belichick situation, do you think that Bill and the Patriots, has things changed, you think, now that Tom has left? Like, is he able to still grind on him like he did back when you were first there?
I mean, he grinds on everyone. That was actually the common denominator was you sat in that meeting room and he's telling Tom not to throw into team meetings. He throws an interception in practice. Three guys are around him. He's like, Tom, don't throw this fucking team meeting. And everyone kind of chuckles. We're like, wow, he just said that to TV. And then calls out Junior. One funny time, he actually called out Junior.
Buddy,
it was right as we were leaving for off season. So it was the end of mini camps and it was the last day. Literally had a flight. He had two flights booked that day. He was going to miss the first one. And so he says, Junior, what the fuck are you doing here? And all Junior said, he was in the back row. He said, seat 2A, Bill. Boom. Like the sound that you make when you push the button in first class. And everyone just died. And he kind of broke the meeting on that. So he loosened up towards the end of his career.
Oh, that's awesome. Go ahead, Darius.
Yeah, I got one for you, Lonnie, because I want to be at a table like that one day. So being in the new space that you are, what are the any parallels from playing the game and then now into what you're doing now?
Yeah, I mean, some of the parallels, you know, I figured out because in the corporate world, you know, a lot of times it feels like some guys think they're on scholarship, which pisses me the fuck off. I hate the fact that you meet about a meeting, about a meeting, about a meeting, yeah. And then never get shit done. It takes forever to get shit done. You know, and so what I like about these startups that I'm involved in, Kind Humans and Knocking Point and a couple other small projects is like small teams, family oriented. Everyone knows each other. You have an idea. We have a sports background, so we get shit done automatically. They kind of look to you for the teamwork side of it, the do your job side of it. And then get creative and leverage your network. So the parallels were, you know, working together and making shit happen.com, you know?
Got you.
Amen. And that table is hilarious. I can't wait to drink Game Time wine. Kindness, pass it on. Can't wait to watch you continue to blossom this incredible business run after an incredible NFL career, Lonnie. Appreciate you stopping by, bub.
Man, this has been so fun. I've been looking forward to get on with you guys for a long time. I've been really watching you, Pat, you know, since you kind of started this thing. You've just elevated the game, dude. And I get a kick out of just listening to all the shit you come up with. you know, no pun intended, but it is classic and your wrestling stuff. I mean, it's just perfect for you. And I knew it, you know, when we played against each other. So, you know, congrats to you guys on the show and the success. And if I can ever be any help to you or you want to, you know, do some more of this stuff, I'd be happy. Come on.
Lonnie, we'd love to chat with you. We also got a massive booze hound in the making. His name's Evan Fox.
Oh, yeah.
He will drink you guys out of wine if you could.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, please. Game time.
It's Friday, baby.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
I like that merch, too.
Lonnie Paxton. Yeah, the merch is dope. Thank you, Lonnie. Woo! So sorry to interrupt, but I want to let you know that if you're not gambling with FanDuel, you're wrong. Okay, FanDuel Sportsbook is available in seven states, I believe, at this point. Six, seven, eight. You get it. If you're not gambling with FanDuel Sportsbook, though, you're completely wrong. And if we're not in your state yet, we are coming to your state. We have better odds. We have a much easier to use app. The convenience is next level. The people at FanDuel actually refund people when they shouldn't refund people, giving back hundreds of millions and millions of dollars to their users. FanDuel Sportsbook is the best sportsbook going for a lot of reasons, most of them what I just said. We are very thankful for our partnership with FanDuel. Obviously, you know, there was a little bit of a miscommunication last week between myself and FanDuel. We worked that out. That's kind of how things operate whenever you're in a business relationship with each other. But even if we weren't in a business relationship with FanDuel, it'd be hard to say that we wouldn't use the FanDuel Sportsbook app. There are so many different ways to win. There's more things to bet on. Their boosts seem to always hit, which is just fucking themselves over time and time again. We love the hell out of FanDuel Sportsbook, and you will too. If you haven't used it yet, use it now. Also, there's fantasy on there, daily fantasy, and free-to-play games where you can win money. Shout out to FanDuel. Shout out to you. Let's get back to the show. AJ Hawk is joining us from Ohio. How you doing, AJ? Darius Butler live down here at the FanDuel Beach House. Darius.
Claim. I don't like that on the ticker. Claims. In all caps. Claims to be a Heat lifer.
Zio's laptop just crashed.
Oh, no.
No, it's not that song.
I don't hear it anymore.
Well, I said that the show was wrapping up and the computers.
They probably heard that.
Probably mailed it in on the weekend or whatever. But I'm sorry. Go back to what you were saying. All I heard was
no,
a lady
I'm just
yelling.
Watching the ticker and I see says Darius Butler claims to be a Heat lifer.
Yeah, so that is.
Life. I'm loyal.
Do you want to know who that is potentially that does that or do you know?
I think it's Gump.
Yeah, well, that would be 100% right. Gumpy is the ticker adder and ticker.
It's fucked up.
Tatter. The ticker.
Ticker tinker.
The ticker tinkerer is a Canadian painter. But what he puts up there, it is an honor to make it up there. I think him taking a shot at you, though, is something that people will see no matter what the video is about. That is going to scroll across the bottom. Yep. And you think that's a little bit slanderous, a little bit libel now at this point because it has been written.
Ooh, no slanders, man.
What's that all about? You think the Heat are going to win it all?
This year, no.
Okay.
No, I do not.
They stink, huh?
No. A very good team, great culture. I just don't think we have the talent to win it all this year.
Did you watch the NBA the other night?
Yeah, the Lakers-Warriors game? Yeah. I stayed up till 3 in the morning to watch that one. Good, great game, though. Great game.
5.6 million viewers, allegedly. That's the amount of viewers. That is a big number in my eyes, especially for the time it was on. Yeah. Obviously, people that hate the NBA, though, have come out and said, can't even break anywhere near what blah, blah, blah in the NFL does when you got LeBron and Steph in there. And I guess that's a valid point. But 5.6 million people watching, I think, is a big thing for the NBA. That's awesome, let alone the online content. And Bron looks to be back, isn't he? He's shooting at three rims, dude.
Yeah.
Shooting at three rims, bro.
Three rims.
Hey, you, by
the
way,
shot clock.
I saw you tweet it out before the end of the game. Yeah, that is a little contradictory there. But you tweeted out, I bet Bron's going to say he didn't see when he shot that. And then literally his first actually, I think as soon as he made the shot, he turned around and I can't see.
Can't even see, bro.
Well, I hope he gets the respect he deserves. He shot that
thing. Is that self-handicapping or that's the opposite?
No, it's him letting people know, like, hey, listen. I'm fucking Pirate Steve right now, dude. Yeah. Okay, I got one eye. You saw what the Michigan State product Draymond Green did to my face. Mm-hmm. People won't give me any credit for this, but I shot this thing with one eye, okay? And nobody's giving me any credit. I think that's why he said, are you a LeBron guy or no?
Big LeBron guy. He is. That's the one thing. If it was one thing I wouldn't be a fan of with LeBron is just the dramatics.
Well, you know, I was always a diehard LeBron fan.
A little dramatic.
I was always a diehard LeBron fan. Saw LeBron in high school come to Pittsburgh and beat the dog shit out of the Pennsylvania All-Star team. It was just his high school team. Pennsylvania All-Star team played. He dunked from the foul line, I think, in front of Eric. And I was like, oh, this guy is awesome. And at that point, he had already had, I believe, the Hummer and the Nike deal. The whole thing had happened at that point. He was really just getting going. I'm like, this guy's awesome. I think I'd seen him out in Cleveland play, too, young, whenever he was younger. I had a friend or whatever that drove over there. Their family and we watch him play. It was one of those things where he was like, I feel like a part of our generation, LeBron James.
Yeah, what is he, a year older than us?
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But yeah, legend, man. Put his guys on too. He was the first example that I saw of that, like an athlete bringing his you know, day one boys like you did and just, and, you know, put everybody on and everybody's doing, you know, number one agent in the game now, the NBA game. And then his expectations, like.
He's lived.
I would probably say the highest expectations of any athlete ever coming out. And he's kind of exceeded him. So shout out to Bron.
Yeah, and by the way, not just exceeded the expectations on the court, but off the court too somehow with everything that you talked about with not only his boys, but the community.
Yeah.
And also, no massive, in a world where everything is exploited and seen and heard about, no massive, like, PR disasters seem to be inevitable for everybody if you're going to be at a LeBron James level. And with the world handed to him when he was like 16, it's before he even got in the NBA. The world was just handed to him like, hey, you're the king. You are the guy. Here's $100 million. Yeah. And it's like, okay, all right. And he somehow handled the whole thing. But I've always been a fan.
Yeah.
When you get around people that aren't fans, though, you do start to notice what you were talking about, like the dramatics, the like, the you know, like he starts saying things, and I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then your friends, like, oh, you didn't hear him say, you didn't hear him just pat himself on the back to say that he was this, and then that, I was like, oh, I guess he did. Yeah, I guess he did do that. Oh, I could see you. Oh, so you hate him for that? He's like, yeah, fucking hate him. I'm like, oh, okay, that's not how I feel at all. But he's greatest of all time, in my eyes.
The decision, you know, going to the Heat, that, and then you know, trademark and Taco Tuesday.
Well, he didn't know.
There's a few others. Well, you know, the barbershop thing. Barbershop thing.
Yeah,
you
I mean, there's a whole series.
He didn't know what, huh?
He didn't know Taco Tuesday was already a thing.
Right.
He thought he came up with it.
He wanted to patent that trademark. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. It's a taco.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, man.
Hey, he's a, Todd, you know, I'm sure he's a voracious reader.
Big time. Yep.
Those photos.
He's read The Godfather like 1,000 times. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People do hate him.
Big
those,
book guy.
Those blatant lies. Yeah. People say
every time he gets taken, you know, a photo gets taken of him with a book, he's always on the first page. People love starting to point over. That out.
What he's publicly letting his fans know if they would like to be a part of his book club now.
Yeah.
This is the book we're starting just today. Starting. We are starting this book today. Mm-hmm. You won't see it until we finish this thing. We're doing this together. That's what he's doing. But I could see how, once again, the people who hate him for what you just said, and why I like him still. And I'm like, I see it as this. I think you hate him, though. You're a hater.
Hey, I don't hate him. Boston hates LeBron. God. I used to hate LeBron. I don't hate him anymore. I'm just pointing out all the things that people say on why they hate him.
As a businessman, he owns the Red Sox, though.
That's right. He's part of Fenway Sports Group. We got the GOAT. That's why the Sox are in first place right now.
Oh, because he's the greatest of all time?
Yeah. Hey. He's bringing that mentality, that prom mentality to the Boston Red Sox.
Hey, let's go real hot take. If LeBron wins this one, okay, with who he's going to have to beat, how he's going to have to beat coming off of this ankle injury, and now he's potentially
7
by the way, year whatever, 17.
Yep.
17 straight years, 25-point average.
18, year 18, I think, right? I think it's 17 straight. I don't think he averaged 25 his first year. I think it's year 18.
Okay, so 18th year, still coming off of the bubble championship off of COVID. If he wins this year, everybody has to say he's the greatest of all time? Is that what has to happen?
Yes.
I think so.
He filmed the movie as well.
And he's Space Jam. Yeah.
They are the first 7 seed to be favored over a 2 seed, I believe, to win a series ever in the history of the NBA.
Well, that means they're doing it right over there for sure. What do you, you know, how does that, I guess because he was hurt, he was out. Yeah, Anthony Davis coming back too.
Only reason they're the 7 seed.
Yeah, the game disparity between like the 7 seed to the 3 seed or whatever is like only a few games, so it does make sense.
He does do stuff though that pisses people off.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people get very mad at LeBron, AJ. I mean, very mad at that guy.
I wanted to ask like the specific things because like D-Butt said, I was in Ohio. I saw LeBron play in high school. He's 1 year younger than me, and the expectations were through the roof for this dude, and he has exceeded all the expectations on the court, and he hasn't gotten trouble off the court really. So what is it, just those little, like, is it just a bunch of little things like that he says and does?
I think so, yeah. Just being around some haters of his, and I'd never been around haters because I think everybody in the locker room's like, what this dude's been able to do is impressive. I think everybody that I've maybe was in my life on a regular basis. And then, you know, you go back to Pittsburgh and you go around some people and something happens. I'm like, oh, okay. And then immediately it's, oh, fuck that guy. I'm like, what did that guy do? And then you start hearing it. And then you'll get a text from that same friend or potentially when he does something else. And you're like, of course, blah, 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 blah. Like that's it. I start to hear and see why, but yeah. I don't feel that way.
When you're on that level, I mean, haters are going to grow as you grow, you know? So it's part of it. I'm sure you get more haters every day.
Oh, every day. More and more people learn that they despise me. I mean, it is everything about me. Everything about me for some people just, you know, really gets them upset. Some people get really worked up about everything that I do. The face, you know, that's a problem for some people.
Mm-hmm.
The voice, boy. The way I speak, fuck that guy. The way I dress, oh, they hate it. The friends I have, oh, the people, the everything. Everything about it, it's cool. But I told Orshlovsky this one day. Orshlovsky put out, he looked like that whenever you were friends with him at UConn, by the way. That photo that hit the internet.
Oh, Dano, yeah.
Yeah. Dano! Dano! Hey, Zito, you should try to find that UConn photo or whatever. This thing made, did you see this, AJ?
No, what I no. It's a picture of Dane Orlovsky during his time at Connecticut.
Yeah, oh, so man. It's No Context College Football account, and they just post random pictures from the history of college football. And it's just No Context. They just posted this particular one was a team photo day. Dane Orlovsky solo shot, classic football kneel, hold ball, face stare down to the camera. And Dan, I'd assume it had to be freshman year there, huh? This had to be freshman year. I assume this is freshman Dan.
Man, he's tough.
Hey, people forget Dan, best player in Connecticut.
Hey, what? Dan was big time. He put UConn on the map back in the day. I redshirted my rookie my freshman year, so I was his scout team corner.
Did you guys play against each other? You guys probably got along.
That was my
well.
Games. Those are my games. Playing, you know, going against him. So,
how'd you do?
Yeah, used to kill him.
Really?
Oh yeah, I used to kill Dan. True freshman. Buck 60 soaking wet out there picking shit off left and right. Getting cursed out by the OC, Rob Ambrose. Shout out Coach Ambrose. Dude, hey, if he runs out, jump the out. Coach, Pac-Man not jumping his out route. He's got to be a first rounder. Number 9 is not jumping his out route. I'm not jumping that shit. I'm getting a pick.
That was
cover
Big
three.
East, that was Big East football with Pac. And also alongside Pac, man at West Virginia was Chris Henry then. And Rasheed Marshall was quarterback, I assume, right? Is that the?
That was in 2004. So this was before Pat White.
So, yeah,
so whoever was right before
probably Rasheed. And then, by the way, that guy's
I wasn't playing. I was practice. That was my
no, but
games.
I'm saying when you say like Pac-Man's not jumping on that, like, that West Virginia team, that Big East, that West Virginia team was very good at that.
Oh, for sure.
It was very cool to kind of follow them and watch the team that I was a part of just beat the dog shit out of UConn.
Yes.
Just beat. I was standing on the sideline. I wasn't doing much. Okay, I was not a part of this thing, but
at all.
It felt like when we played UConn.
Extra points.
Extra points, man. A lot of those, dude. It was. I don't know why. You guys had a good team. Donald Brown was almost a Heisman.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just felt like we, for whatever reason, what we had, you guys didn't.
Yeah. For some reason, whenever you start to learn another school's fight song, you know it's not going good.
Shout out Dan Orlovsky. He looked good there. Let's get some phone calls, shall we?
Meme up.
What's that, Dan? Yeah.
Now with it. Proud of Shelton.
Per source, Patrick Mahomes is ahead of schedule in his rehab and will participate in the Chiefs OTAs that start on May 25th. The thought right now is he will do some stuff and will then be fully ready to go for training camp. This coming via James Palmer at James Palmer TV. Shout out Patrick Mahomes.
Good morning, Patrick.
He posted a photo, I think it was on Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was on Easter with his wife and baby, and he had a boot on his leg, clearly. And I thought to myself, okay. Is everything, congratulations.
Yeah.
I actually said, congratulations. All right. Is everything all right? I completely forgot about his foot being injured from the season or whatever.
Yeah.
I had assumed that we were past that already, but I guess it was only 2 months and some change after that. Mm-hmm. The surgery happens. Now we're hearing he's back on track. That's good for everybody. Congrats to Patrick Mahomes getting through a tough rehab, I'd assume, tough offseason, and trying to have a successful season with the target on your back for the rest of your career. So I think he's probably cut out for this thing.
Yeah, I mean, like when we first saw this, he like you actually had like a back and forth with him, and it didn't seem like he was
worried.
Really, worried at all. Like he knew he was going to be ready to go. So hey,
and I didn't think we should be worried at all. And then I saw the
surgery. What kind of surgery did he have? Do you know?
I don't remember. Maybe plantar.
Okay, it wasn't like the Liz Frank deal, right?
No, that's remember it was part. Was it like a sigmoid something?
Sesamoid.
Yes. It was a sesamoid in your foot, which is a ligament that holds your bones together, I think, is broken. So it's like a focal point. I think you have a couple of them in your foot because it's where the things connect.
Yep.
And in your foot, there's a lot of little parts there.
Big Ben's elbow.
But yeah, it's also a joint thing. So a sesamoid was injured. That was it.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
The old sesamoids.
Man, we had quite a science day that day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big science
day. Big science day. We're like fucking smart.
Oh, yeah.
Sesamoid. I mean, that's a great word to begin with.
I might use it tonight. Somebody's going to be attacking somebody's sesamoid.
Yeah.
Got to, dude.
Sesamoids are everywhere.
Darius. That's
some fucking team doctors over here. What did Dak injure? I saw he was supposed to be back and ready for training camp.
That was a cramp.
That was a big difference.
Dak Prescott?
Yeah, he had. So he had, you know, he's bounced back though. He got a bunch of water in his system.
Yeah, the IVs.
So the cramp kept him out of the.
Yeah, the cramp.
A couple oranges.
One of the worst cramps of all time, Darius. Jeez. You don't understand.
That was what they are referring to in an asshole manner. And they should not have done what they just did right there. Is Tony Romo did diagnose that as a potential cramp whenever it originally happened. And to Tony Romo's credit, though, none of us knew what the hell was going on there. Now, I don't think anybody thought it was a cramp.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, I can see the bone sticking out of his leg. I don't think it's a cramp.
So maybe he had a cramp at the same time. Maybe Tony noticed his hammy was cramping too.
Yeah, you know, everybody's, hey, let's not get distracted by that bone popping out there. It looks like his calf is tightening. Hey, you see that ball? I've had one of those before. They're going to have to roll that out.
Yeah?
Maybe roll it out with the shin action.
Yeah, roll a couple of things out.
All right, enough. Tony didn't deserve it. I've said a lot of dumb things live. That's one of, you know, that just so happened to be. But he got surgery done by the Cowboys associated doctor. He got rehab with a Cowboys-associated rehab, and then he signed that monster deal. We're assuming, we don't know anything, right, AJ? I don't think we know anything. But we, this show has taken a stance that we assume he'll be back. But that one video they showed, he kind of hobbled back out of that thing, you know? But guys have, at the tail end of rehab, made massive steps quickly because it's kind of like things happening up. I don't know the fucking injury, though. No. I have no idea.
He'll be back.
Yeah, if they were worried, they probably would have brought Dalton or someone else back in, right? Just to have a second option just in case.
Andy Dalton was commanding $14 million a year or something like that.
That's true.
What did Chicago pay him?
10, right?
Yeah.
He's a starter.
QB one.
I don't think Andy wanted to stick around in Dallas after his brains got spilled all over the turf and no one helped him up. I think he was like, you know what, Jerry, it's been great, but I'm going to get the hell out of here.
I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
I'll be back down here.
Right.
Okay, I'll end up being buried in the great state of Texas down here. And Jerry, you and I both know we love this place, but I'm going to have PTSD every time I put on it.
Yeah. This team hates me.
Why did they not help him up, AJ? What happened?
I was hoping they didn't see it or something, but I don't know, man.
They saw it.
Film says that they seen him and walked right by him, and he was dead down there. That's tough, dude.
Maybe they thought like, hey, it's, you know, maybe it's a neck injury. You don't want to touch him.
Smart. Just like last night, Tavares.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
He got kneed in the mouth after, or in the head after something.
Oh, that was scary.
Scary.
I saw that shit.
But hockey players are so tough. And hockey players are absurd. That's why you see like four teeth are probably missing in some of them. They run headers right into a wall that does not move really. And then they just get up and skate off. It's a very impressive toughness that is needed to be a hockey player. With that being said, last night it almost like was a detriment because they were almost like asking him like get up or whatever.
Yeah.
And just like you just brought up or whoever just brought up about how on a field you're told like, hey, don't touch, you have no idea what could bet. Hockey's not like that. It's almost like it's almost a part of the sport. Like get up, let's go ahead and get out
here
of here.
Go, hey, boys.
He got carted off though. That was scary. You seen it? You watched it live.
I saw that shit.
Ever happened to you on a field? Any of those moments ever happened?
No. I had a bad knee actually against West Virginia my senior year. But I never had to get carted off, I don't think.
How about
I've seen it with teammates. It's scary, and even opponents. It's just a scary kind of, because we all know you're kind of one play away playing that violent game. So yeah, that was tough. But with this, so I saw, do they have to, like, is it mandatory they have to fight after that? Something like that happens?
Yeah, it's like, hey, you got to answer.
Okay.
You took our guy up.
I respect it.
Now, granted, it was kind of a hit and an awkward type turn.
Yeah,
thing,
it wasn't intentional. Yeah.
But hockey's a big fuck you, no, or fuck me, no, fuck you guy. They're big.
I like it.
Hockey's big in that. Huge. I like it. There was actually six people in the box after
in the Pens game.
Caps Rangers. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
In the Pens game, there was as well because there was
like
a scrap.
Right out of the gate, right?
Yeah, but as soon as the game, what's up, Nick?
So last night, Nick Foligno of the Leafs did fight Corey Perry, who was the one who kneed Tavares in the head, and it was accidentally. And a lot of people were not happy that he did it. A lot of people were like, "Hey, look, it was an accident. He didn't mean to do it." They didn't really see the need for it.
Yeah, because I thought it was kind of an awkward, you know, and I'm hockey aficionado. I've been watching my whole life, but I don't know the ins and outs as much as I can because I can't skate, to be honest. But it's one of those things where hockey, though, he just has to answer, right? I assume that's what...
That's the code. That's what they always talk about.
How'd the fight go, Nick?
And you hear the code.
Who won the fight?
That's it right there. If you hurt a star player, you're going to have to answer the bell and you're going to have to fight for it. But that one, it was probably hard for the Leafs players to see from the bench. They probably didn't get the same, like, they didn't get the benefit of seeing all the replays and everything, but it was still like people weren't thrilled about that one in particular.
AJ wants to know how the fight went.
Not great. You can watch it. You can tell both guys were even kind of reluctant to do it.
Yeah.
Perry didn't really want to do it. He just knew he had to.
Hockey, though, you know, Sam was talking about this the other night while we were watching the game. It has all the sports combined, including boxing, right? Yeah. Which is pretty cool to think about. And there's, I think, and I've said this, hockey has done a tremendously terrible job. It's tremendous how bad they have
worst
done.
Of all time. Just,
horrible.
It's tremendous how inept that league, the NHL, has been at promoting the game. Now, let's hope the ESPN and the Turner deal will change things. But Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, he should have been on every show before the NHL playoffs, and he should have been around going, hey, listen, our sport, they're flying around faster than every other sport. You hear about these 4.2s, you hear about these 4.3s, 4.4s. These guys are on ice skates. They're going 2.5s, okay? These guys are flying around. There's fighting, there's action, there's skill, there's talent. There's going to be drama, intensity. There's going to be everything. And what they're mic'd up, by the way, these guys are like guys that you were pulling for. From small villages in Russia all the way to Finland and Canada, and then there's American born, and like you could just, the way you could sell it is something you very easy to do, and the NHL hasn't done
it. What percentage of the NHL, like a ballpark, are like foreign players from like Canada or Russia?
So I thought there was a chance that the Americans could die off in this whole thing because of how hard it is to become. You have to you have to be willing to put your body through like just grueling pain. You got to be skating at like 5:30 a.m. You've got to toughen it up. You got to do all this shit. So I thought there was a chance that the people who potentially used to play hockey, because it's expensive. Hockey costs money to play here in America. It does, because there's ice time, there's pads, there's everything like that you have to pay for. So it is a bit expensive. I thought there was a chance that not as many Americans would play because they would choose to do other things. Like I think that demo of kid who potentially would go into hockey because I think it has to do. I thought they would go elsewhere. It's not happening, by the way. I think Americans getting into the league is actually growing at this point.
Okay.
I could be completely wrong, but it's a very diverse league. I mean,
yeah.
My first exposure. Well, I don't know if I would say it's a very diverse
country.
League.
Just, country.
Oh, gotcha.
Country
okay,
diverse.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah, but
just,
you're right. Though.
Just watching it. But my first exposure was a game. A video game, NHL, used to be like EA Sports used to make it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I used to love that game just for the fights. We used to go out our way to figure out how to get to a fight. And but actually playing it in between the fights, it's fun.
To kind of, you know, further upon what you said there, like when PK Subban became like a big name for the NHL, that was huge, I thought. Like, hey, this is a big deal. Like, here's a guy who hopefully can make people think like, okay, I can make it too if I want to get in there. And by the way, I think that would have made the game a lot better. I think it's just so difficult in America to really get in
there. Yeah, but then the old dinosaurs of the sport did what they did and tried to silence him and bury him, and he's been bounced around teams, and he just gets blackballed, for lack of a better term.
Really? Why is that? Yeah. Why is that? Because he talks
too loud, too much of a distraction, not a team guy. They just get labeled with these things, and it's just like it is in the NFL. You guys talk about it all the time. If you get labeled a distraction, it's really hard to come back from that.
See, like that's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's something now in 2021 where I think a lot more of the world would be like, oh, that's clearly what is happening here. You know, move along. Because the guy was a player, right? Absolute stud.
Yeah, he's one of the best in the league. And he's declined slightly skill-wise, but he's still a damn good player. Yeah.
Well, and... Hey, he was going out with Lindsey Vonn, wasn't he? Engaged to her, so he was like a celebrity power couple too.
Yeah, they broke up.
Yeah, when his career is done, he's going to be on TV, and it's going to be a great thing for the sport.
Well, by the way, just a little heads up to the sport, could have that now still.
Yeah,
could
have make that happen.
Could have that now.
Big hockey guy.
Hey, oh, D Bud.
Yeah. One NHL
hockey though, like. You hear some of the, like Evgeny Malkin. This is just one guy who's on the Pens, the team that I am a fan of. And have been my entire life. This guy was drafted to the NHL, okay, out of Russia. Had to go into hiding because the Russian mob would have taken him and not let him go and would have, like, basically had to go into hiding, escape to America to play for the Penguins. Then they had to get his family out because his family's here. So his family comes over to Pittsburgh, and then his family gets put on the Jumbotron. They're, like, the most famous couple in Pittsburgh, basically. And Gino has had this, obviously, storied career. I think now he can go back, but for a while he couldn't go back or do anything like that. Like, wow. There is so much shit in the NHL that you could market if you had just one ounce of, like, oh, we should try to grow anywhere in a conversation. I don't think they have that at all.
He got smuggled out in the middle of a game, right? Wasn't that the story with Malkin to get him out?
I think
It was like right after a game in Finland or Sweden. I can't remember the country exactly his team was playing in, and he basically just snuck away after the game, hid in a hotel, and then got flown out the next day.
Yeah, it was like real life.
I thought they pulled him off the ice, and they were like, hey, we got to get on the plane right now.
Hey, listen. We just put a tranquilizer in the guy that's watching you. We have got to get out of here. Let's get to a break. Hey, by the way, Gino's back. 2 assists last
night. Had a baby Gene.
Islanders won when Gino wasn't playing.
Hey, but the Penguins drafted him. Did they draft him knowing that they were going to have to smuggle him out?
I believe there's kind of a knowledge of how things operate over there, I'd assume. This is how it's always been, you know? This song's called Putin Pucks In. And I believe that first name there has a pretty good say about what pucks get to go in. You know what I mean? To where? Who's shooting where? I think there's pretty good. Who knows what it's like now, but it was definitely like that then. And then, like, just like all the pond, I mean, the pond hockey, there's just so many stories that could potentially be told and they fuck it up. Now is the time they should be pushing it. I guess we'll do it for you, but.
It's a good sport, too.
Especially if they want to grow the game.
Fun sport.
It is a fun sport to watch, right?
It is. Violent sport. Like you said, fast, a lot of speed, a lot of up and down. I like it. Teamwork.
The cardiovascular. Now, corners and.
How hard is that? Is that?
Go watch some of their, like, training. They have, like, some of their training docs. It looks like nothing I could do, boss. I assume you could do, but I could not figure it out. I assume a lot of others couldn't either as well. Let's get to a break. On the other side, AJ, how about some phone calls, huh?
Ooh. Let's do it. I bet we have some people that have been waiting a long time. Some of the regulars on there still.
Okay, so we got Kyle, Josh, Michael. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this name.
Spell it.
Kwame?
It's about... top of your no smoke list. That's a great line, by the way.
No smoke.
I'm going to use that on SmackDown tonight. A prophet once said.
It's right after you say, well, welcome to the cock, right?
Peacock. This is on Fox, though. Okay, so that would be misconstrued.
Well, you got to reference the pay-per-view that you had on the cock.
Only available, WrestleMania Backlash was magical. Only available to be seen on the cock, Peacock. But tonight we will recap everything. Ginger,
please do it. Please do it and see if Vince chimes in.
Ginger Nick is on the phone.
Oh, he typed it in.
Yeah, if that's what he dubbed himself, you can call him that.
I don't know how the Andy Daltons, though, feel about that whole thing. My roommate, Reed. Huh?
They love it. The Red Rocket. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it says Ginger Rocket, though. You know,
Ginger Jesus, though.
Well, gingers have no soul, they said, on things. Like, the ginger name, I think.
I've never heard that.
I thought that kind of has gone full circle.
People said that, People said that for sure. I didn't say it to my roommate. My roommate, who was a redhead, Reed Williams, Reed Williams, good guy.
Yeah. Farmer?
Middle linebacker for West Virginia.
Okay, linebacker,
Yeah, redheaded guy. Mm-hmm. He had good red hair, but he's still redhead. You
good chicken.
What's that?
He has good chicken.
Yeah, he sells all the chickens to basically every... He's doing well with the chickens.
Shout out.
Hey, thanks for the chickens, Reed. We eat them.
Thank you, Reed.
Everybody eats them, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
His chickens are fucking everywhere, dude.
Oh, yeah.
But the chicken business, I have learned, is an interesting one.
Yeah, fickle, correct?
It is a fickle business, yeah.
It's like ass pennies.
Well, I think it's not like ass pennies, and we will move on. This is the Pat McAfee Show. Friday, May. Why did you put that into Zito's life, AJ?
I love it.
You're welcome, Zee.
Okay, that's the show. Thank you to everyone who listened, watched, all the guests that we had all week. If you haven't already, episode 5 of Mr. Friday Night and Evan Foxy joint is available on YouTube right now. Give you a little behind the scenes look at what goes into these weeks, you know, from Indy to Tampa and everything in between. They're a lot of fun. And also make sure you tweet #endofpodsquad. send a picture to us. Let us know what you're doing while you're listening to the podcast. We'll be giving out some money to people who send that hashtag in. We appreciate the hell out of all you guys. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Cheers.